Welcome to the Saint Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave! Dave smells like nougat!
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the annual edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. We are live streaming tonight on the YouTubes and the Patreon. If you are a Patreon subscriber, you possibly could be hearing this live. As always, we are sponsored by TixBlix, the official ticket provider of the Armchair Media Network. Unlike other ticket providers that sneak in extra fees and unexplained service charges, at TixBlix, the price you see is the price you pay. If you want to see your favorite player get in his licks, maybe that's Hakeem Nicks, Akeem Hicks, or Haha Clinton Dix, go to TixBlix.com and enter promo code Armchair at checkout to receive 5% off your total ticket purchase. That's TixBlitz.com, promo code Armchair, TixBlitz, guaranteed seats, guaranteed emotions. Yeah, I butchered that one all up. I have not. I was not practicing. I was setting up about 900 different things.
Dr. Laura.
To get the
whatever.
Live stream working. I'm sorry, Dorothy. I didn't do my exercises and I paid the price.
It says live stream offline. Is that?
I don't know. Well, you might have to refresh the page, perhaps.
I did that. Are you sure it's working?
Maybe not. Probably not.
This is going about how I expected it to go.
Yeah. I mean, I did everything that I was supposed to do. And
did you try unplugging it and plugging it back in?
I don't know. The live stream.
I noticed you went back to the old opening. We're never getting a new opening, are we?
We never. Yeah.
Never
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. The live stream is not
offline.
Working. It's offline. Sorry.
Had a feeling. Had a feeling it was going to go like this.
Did you like test this out or practice it?
I did. I practiced twice. Anyway, apologies. To the people in the line.
Try again.
I mean, should we try this? Should we retry this, or would we just try next week?
No, I mean, let's see.
This is good stuff. We've
yeah.
You can't make Ralph do the ad again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to. I don't know. Sorry, guys. So, anyway, I apologize. The live stream went kaput. I apologize. So, they had actual Saints news today. Andrew, while I'm going over the recap of the Saints news with Andrew, why don't you tweet out to the people that the live stream blew up and tweet out a GIF of the Hindenburg
Do that GIF with the burning dumpster.
So anyway, the Saints had mega news this weekend, Dave. Max Unger retired on Saturday, and then on Sunday.
You didn't do the sound. You didn't do the sound. Oh, come
Max
on.
Max Unger retired on Saturday, and the Saints panic bought a center like a husband that forgot their wife's birthday at a gas station And that's where they bought the birthday gift. That was Nick Easton. 4 years, $24 million. Dave, were you surprised that they moved so quickly? And what was your initial reaction to Max Unger retiring?
I mean, totally bummed, obviously. You know, he's your center. He's a Pro Bowl guy. He's the best we've had in a good while. And obviously now he's had a relationship with Drew, which you always want with your quarterback and center. And this was totally – what are these noises? What is going on? And it's you know, like you said, it's totally surprising. It was funny because I was listening to WWL and some caller was asking about – he was talking to Deuce and Zach and he was asking about the O-line and what it was looking like for next year. And they were like, oh, no, it's fine. Everybody's coming back. You know, we're looking pretty good. And then literally the next day we hear about Unger. And it definitely throws a wrench in it. You know, yeah, you mentioned about, you know, them panic buying on an O-lineman. You know, offensive line really wasn't on my radar, so I wasn't paying too much attention to free agency offensive linemen. So I don't know who was out there previously at the start of free agency that got taken that would have been better.
I don't know that there. I mean, there were centers, but like, I don't think the Saints, Andrew, were gonna pay like $10 million for a center, right?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, they had $7 million tied up to Unger. So you know, I think if they were gonna lose him, I don't think they were gonna want to spend more than that to find his replacement. So, but you know, usually in year one, it's more cap friendly than that, but. Yeah, I, it's tough, man. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Matt Paradis is kind of viewed as the top center on the market, and he ended up signing with the Panthers. He got 3 years, $27 million, so that's $9 million a year. You know, Matt Morse of the Chiefs, he was signed by the Bills. So, you know, that was another one. Mitch Morse. So, I mean, those are probably the two that you look at that, you know, we're maybe at the top of the list. But yeah, Nick Easton's not a guy that I would have viewed as the upper echelon center. I just feel like the Saints maybe got a guy that they liked, but, you know, is basically going to come in to compete. And I mean, at this point, it seems a little pricey, in my opinion, for a guy like that, you know, especially a guy that was out of football last year with an injury. With a serious neck injury, but he's only 26 and, you know, he's got chemistry with Teddy Bridgewater and, you know, he knows Bridgewater and, Latavius Murray knows him too. So I think it's one of those things where if the Saints hit on this and they got it right, then this is potentially Teddy Bridgewater's center. And since they know each other and there's, like I said, chemistry and they've been teammates together, then hopefully that works out.
I think the question, you know, I asked this question to you guys when the news broke. You know, I said, you know, when did the Saints know about Unger retiring? You know, did they know about that? Were they told, you know, just a few days before we found out, or were they made aware of this before free agency?
Yes.
Okay, so somebody has said something to confirm that. Okay.
Yep. All right, good.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
Andrew,
I think it was actually a pretty good strategy by the Saints. You know, kind of their approach to the offseason and free agency. I think, you know, they gave out the illusion kind of going into free agency that they had no cap space, and I think that was obviously by design. Mickey Loomis wanted other teams to feel like they weren't much of a threat, and so you get through. You know, the Saints basically are the team with the second least amount of cap. And they get through that initial period, which is the tampering period, the legal tampering period for the first 48 hours. And basically that's where everyone burned their money on the big time free agents. And what you saw happen is as soon as that period ended, boom, they hit Breeze with a contract change. And they get about $10 million in space and they're able to sign a couple guys. And then right after that, boom, Unger announces his retirement and they get $7 million more. And I don't think that's by accident. I mean, you know, Unger and his presser today mentioned that he had called Drew Brees earlier
this off season, and that he had kind of said that it was a very difficult phone call to have, that just kind of explained that he was retiring. And so obviously Sean Payton knew about that. Sean Payton kind of hinted that it's funny. He said that interior line was a need like a week or two ago. And I don't know why, in my head, when he said that, I was like, oh, does that mean like Andres Pete is about to get traded? But I never thought in my head like, oh, is something happening with Unger? But obviously he was kind of hinting at that point that this was about to hit and it was about to come. So again, it's too bad. Like, you know, it's one of those things where I'm all about the signing from the sense that like there's no way you give the job to Cam Tom or Will Clapp. No way. I mean, you have to bring a veteran in, and you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that Nick Easton's your center. I think all three of them battle it out in camp, and whoever's best. And, you know, if Will Clapp or Cam Tom is the best guy and they outplay Nick Easton and they earn the job, then great. And hopefully they can be the Saints center for a long time. But I think it's one of those things when you lose a guy like Unger, I mean, this is bad. I mean, this is a huge loss. And I think if there's power in numbers, where you just hope that if you throw enough things at the wall, you know, one of them will stick.
Yeah, I mean, the one interesting thing about about Unger was that he said, you know, I can't physically do it anymore. I can't get down in my stance. So Dave, I joked yesterday on Twitter that this really showed that the Saints' 2018 offensive line, like, that's what kept, in my mind, that's what kept them from winning a Super Bowl, because all those fuckers were injured from left to right. Everybody was dealing with something, but it's the same thing now. Like, their offensive line is still like a giant copay. I mean, Armstead is dealing with whatever injury he has. Pete has the broken hand. Nick Easton didn't play a down last year. Warford was banged up, and Ramchek was playing with the RoboCop armor. So, you know,
I mean, I just think that's the nature.
How concerned are you with the health of the offensive line and the injury stuff at the end of last year going forward?
I mean, I think that that's sort of the nature of the beast. I think that it's kind of always like that. I mean, there's always a little something. I mean, a broken hand, I mean, that's bones. That'll heal. You know, that's – no, I mean, I'm being serious. It's not like a, you know, a torn ligament or a muscle or something like that. You know, Armstead, obviously, he was really messed up at the end of the season, played through it, and probably played when he shouldn't have been playing. Yeah, I mean, it's a concern, but at the same time, I mean, you know, I got to think that most teams at the end of 16-game season, a lot of their offensive line is feeling pretty banged up. So, but yeah, I mean, it's you need to have a good offensive line when you're the Saints and you're running their offense.
I mean, do we trust their doctors with the dude with the fucked up neck and Nick Easton? Is that
no? Do we trust no. I mean, granted, the doctors that told Delvin Bro to rub some dirt on it are fired, so it's not the same guys. But you know, the Saints are still stuck with Oshner, and so you know, it's not like they can hand pick their doctors. You know, they get whatever Oshner sends them, and so yeah, I mean, it's a concern, you know, that this guy is coming off a serious neck injury, and he's been cleared to play. Apparently he's fine, but it's funny, when we talked about him being acquired in our 7 minutes of Saints earlier today, I joked that Nick Easton is probably the healthiest starter on the Saints offensive line right now, coming off that neck, because he's had a whole offseason. He's had a whole season to recover from his neck injury. So he's been on IR, but he's probably the healthiest of the starting five, which is sad but true. But, I mean, yeah, no, listen, they need to keep getting – guys, I mean, they need bodies, because Warford, I mean, you listed all that. Now Unger's gone. Armstead, who knows? You know, Pete hopefully will be okay, but he's had an injury risk, you know, and like you said, Warford and Ramchick basically played the whole season banged up. So You know, I'm hoping the Saints are kind of due, man, on the offensive line to get a Falcons/Rams-ish type luck where they just go a whole season with the same starting five.
When the fuck did that happen? When's the last time that happened with the Saints?
I mean, I guess 2009. Although, I mean, Jamal Brown was injured to start the year. But after the Jamal Brown injury, they went the whole season, I think, with the same starting five.
Is that true? Damn, that's 10 years. Like, the Rams haven't had a fucking they have the same five guys for 2 years. The only reason they aren't going to have the same five guys again is because they cut the center and Stafford, their guard, left.
Saffold, yeah.
Yeah, God, I'd give up drinking for like a day and a half to have that good of offensive line health.
Wow, you really do really want that.
Yeah, he wants it bad.
I want it bad. I want it almost as bad as I want this live stream to work that I tested 3 times and didn't run. but it's totally on brand that our live stream wouldn't work. I seriously don't know. I mean, I tested in Patreon and it was working. I tested in YouTube and it didn't work. But anyway, so
on brand.
What's that?
On brand. I like
on
that.
Brand. So listen. People that donated, if you donate $7 a day, if more of you would donate, I could get an intern that was technically savvy and they could test all this out while I was at my real job and they could just say it was ready to go. So more of you should join at the $7 level and you get podcasts every day. Fuck, Andrew, we had that podcast for people ready to go at 8 a.m. today about Nick Easton and Unger, and that thing with the center Saints, it broke last night. What, at like 10:30 last night they signed him?
True. Yeah.
You know? So we had it there. So other podcasts were waiting. We had you ready to go for your drive to work or when you first got to work. Because everybody knows that when you get to work, you fuck off for like an hour. You're like office really? Space. You just sneak in the back
door.
You space out for a good hour.
He represents all that is soulless and wrong.
Piece of shit.
That's my live stream. So do it. It's $7. You get 4 extra podcasts a week. Do it. But they had other Saints news that I was not only stunned at the outpouring of emotion, I was stunned at how sad I was when Nick Underhill announced that he's leaving the Advocate and New Orleans Advocate and going on to bigger and better things, wherever that may be. I was really, really sad. And listen, we've been doing this. How long have we been doing this podcast? For like a decade? Longer?
Mm-hmm.
We've never given two shits about a beat writer leaving. Have we ever? Dave,
yeah, you've been really.
I don't know. Kat Terrell. She was nice. She was okay.
She was nice. Yeah, she was.
I mean, she wasn't really good. I mean, she wasn't like great at the job.
She asked the hard questions, though.
Yeah, she
asked
yeah,
the injury.
True.
She always asked the injury questions.
That's true.
The only questions we give a shit about during training camp, she would ask them. So
yeah, she always volunteered to fall on the sword. I respect
yeah,
that.
Like, so she did it. Although she told us that when we interviewed her when they played Cincinnati, she told us that her boss at the Times-Picayune demanded that she do that and expected her to ask certain questions at the press. So that's how she started doing it. But then she just kept on. But maybe her. But like people were sad, like really, really sad, and I was too. Like Dave, were you as sad as I was when you found out Nick is no longer going to be covering the Saints?
I don't know if I was sad, but, you know, definitely disappointing. I mean, you know, remember the time didn't he drive out in the middle of the night to go check when Jerry Jones's plane was at the airport? You remember that?
Yeah.
Who's ever done that? I don't see Duncan doing that.
Yeah. He did. And he charted every pass Drew Brees ever threw. Which is just fucking bananas. Right? Andrew?
Yeah, I think he kind of, I remember, you guys ever listen to like the Jerry Cantrell like podcasts, and he talks about, how he does like the Alice in Chains albums, and he's like, yeah, I just like lock myself in my basement. I don't come out for like 3 months. He's like, I don't shower. I don't really eat. He's like, yeah, I just like, he's just like, all I do is play guitar and like suss this out in my head. And like, you know, I basically like shut myself off from the world. And, you know, that's how I make an Alice in Chains album. And he's like, you know, I come out and I'm really unhealthy and I kind of have to like reacclimate to the world and start eating again and showering and assimilate in society. And I feel like that was Nick Underhill when he would write these massive, just mad scientist pieces where he just would come up with ridiculous, incredible, insane amounts of research and you know, basically be able to come up with conclusions that no one in Saints Media or NOLA Media history has ever done. And, you know, I mean, I think he like orders Moe's and Chipotle and has it brought to him and just doesn't leave the house and does, it's kind of how I picture Jerry Cantrell, but you know, I mean that lovingly. And, I mean that with all due respect. I mean, I think he, you know, obviously had a tremendous work, has a tremendous work ethic. And, you know, in some ways, I mean, I hate to put it like this, but I almost feel like he was always kind of too good for New Orleans.
He was too good for this place, man.
Nick Underhill belongs in a big market, you know?
I mean, and the thing is too, is, you know, it's a thing where New Orleans, even like pre-Katrina, even like into the mid-90s to early 2000s maybe, was really a destination job for media people, most of them. Like, you were like, I worked in Beaumont or fucking, you know, Hattiesburg or wherever, right? And you were like, hey, I got to New Orleans. This is where I'm going to stay for a really long time if I'm on TV or in print or whatever. But now you look at the local media and all the icons have retired, right, Dave? And now it's sort of like a transient media where people come, they're really good, and then they go to Atlanta, they go to Houston, they go wherever. Where it used to be Hoda Kotb would stay in New Orleans until she got a job at NBC, right? Is that a fair assessment of the local New Orleans media?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, you know, you've got – I feel like you have – three. You've got Duncan, Holder, and Triplett. And you've got those three, and they're pretty much, you know, the only constant. And everything else, you know, they're the nucleus or whatever, and everything else, the protons revolving around them. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's, you know, we just rattled off a bunch. Nick Underhill, Cat Terrell, I mean, it's just, you know, you see a name for a few months, maybe a year, and then after a while, and it's a new name. And that cycle has just kind of been repeating itself for the last few years, for sure. And it sucks. It, you know, it'd be nice to have somebody stick around and really get to know the organization. But so, you know, I don't know. I don't know what can be done about it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is for me, Andrew, the only thing, and this we can wrap this thing up with Nick, is, I mean, I thought he was the best mix of analytics guy with I cover the team and I understand the day-to-day workings of how a football team really is on the field and that sort of thing. He mixed the two really well. I feel like a lot of times you get either one or the other. You get a guy like Adam Schefter, right? He can break news and knows a ton of sources and all, but I feel like Adam Schefter, like, he doesn't really understand like X's and O's probably at all, right? Whereas an analytics guy knows his analytics backwards and forwards, but will argue over a certain grade or cap value. You know, like Barnwell never thinks a team that spends fucking any money, no deal is good. Like if you spend a ton of money, it's bad because that's cap space that you're burning. And in 2 years, if it doesn't go right, my God, your cap could be a disaster. Why didn't you just draft a dude in the fifth round to play guard? Like, I feel like Nick Underhill had the balance of both, which was nice, and we're never going to get this again, and I'm really sad.
Yeah, it's just, you know, yeah. I mean, it's rare that you listen to, you read someone's work, and you feel like you're always being educated, you know? And, I mean, at least for me, you know, I feel like I'm someone that, is fairly well read, knows Saints history, you know, understands the game of football, and you know, I mean, I have some confidence and self assurance in my beliefs in general, and you know, I think there are insightful things that I read that I don't think about often, maybe every day, and that I'm impressed with. But Underhill was probably the only one that consistently did that. In other words, everything that I was always paying attention when he was writing because I was pretty much learning something every time. And I can't really say that for anyone else. So anyway, you know, it's sad to see him go. And, you know, obviously I wish that guy the best. He was always super cool with us and you know, he came on our show many times and really appreciate him doing that. And he was never too good.
Well, let's not exaggerate. I think he came on once.
Well, he did a mini cast with me also. So I guess that's two. But yeah, anyway, he did some interview stuff on Saints Nation too, I guess, which is separate from this, but anyway, I mean, you know, I think he easily could have been too cool for that. And, he wasn't, and that's the kind of guy he is. So tremendous amount of respect for that.
The thing about Nick
is he came up like us, like he was a blogger and a podcaster and, you know, that's kind of how he got started. So I think he kind of always realized that there's a lot of talented people outside of just the legit media circles.
I feel like with Dave, there was a lot of information that has happened in the last week or so touched on. Right, Dave? Your boyfriend left and is no longer a Saint.
What? We didn't talk about this?
Didn't we? Did we? I feel like it's been so long ago.
I don't know. When did he leave?
He left.
I think that happened after Monday, didn't it?
After Monday, yeah. Week? Like, we talked about what his contract would be.
Maybe it I don't know. Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about this? I'm over it, obviously. Now you can hear me.
Dave, take us back to the very moment you found out. Can you go back to that place?
I mean, the moment I found out was when the Saints signed Latavius Murray.
That you knew. You knew the second that happened.
Obviously everybody knew that. And especially after, you know, there was talk about him you know, Baltimore being interested in him. So, you know, we discussed it on the podcast before. We discussed numbers and we said 6 million, 7 million, definitely not worth it to pay him. I think we've all said 5 million, certainly we would keep him. And that's what he wound up getting. So I guess as far as the Saints are concerned, their number was even lower than we were willing to go, which is
4.5.
Yeah, which was, you know, that stinks. I don't know. I think another $500,000 or even $1 million a year, just because of the locker room presence. And I mean, he's a complete back. He blocks. He's great in the out of the backfield catching. I don't know. I
think it was a breakdown in communication. I mean, I think if Ingram knew that it was going to play out this way, he would have taken the Saints offer. And if the Saints knew that it was going to play out this way, they would have given him $5 million a year. I think it was one of those things where the Saints were like, hey, someone else wants Latavius Murray. So if you're not going to take our deal, like, we got to jump on this guy and we're offering you $4.5 million a year. And Ingram's like, no, I want seven. I want seven a year. And they parted ways because of that. And then basically once Ingram lost all his interested parties, then all that was left was the Ravens, and then the Ravens were offering five. So that's what he had to take. And I think his agent overplayed his hand, and it's just really too bad. I mean, I think sometimes that's how it goes in free agency. You know, you're trying to get your client the most money, and there's a little gamesmanship by Ingram's camp there to try to up his offer a little bit. But I think Ingram thought he would get more money than he did.
You don't think that if
his agent had an offer from Baltimore, we're taking at the very end, we're saying, you wouldn't think he wouldn't go back and say we're taking $5 million with Baltimore.
Do you have anything final
you want to say?
I mean, I just think that he was playing multiple teams off of each other. And so I think Ingram had 4.5 from the Saints and five from Baltimore.
I fixed the live stream. News? We have breaking news. I fixed the live stream.
With 5 minutes left in the show?
Yeah. Totally on brand.
That's awesome. I wonder, is anyone going to actually listen to it now?
We have two people. Thanks.
Three people watching.
Anyway.
I like that picture of Unger.
So the Mark Ingram thing sucks. I don't know if you guys discussed Jared Cook. I'm getting nervous. Saints have nobody to catch the goddamn ball.
Sign the guy already. God.
Come on.
He's shopping. I read on some non-reputable.
You saved all that money on not signing Mark Ingram. Now you don't have to pay Max Unger. Blow it all. Blow it all on a freaking pass catcher. Please, for the love of God.
I read on a totally non-reputable Twitter account that Jared Cook is shopping the Saints' offer, hoping to get a better one. And what the Saints need to do is go to him and say,
I gotta barbecue your ass in molasses!
If you don't sign that shit by noon tomorrow, don't shop that shit around. Either sign or be done.
I read.
Great, now we're getting feedback from the live feed. Awesome. It's on brand, also.
Yeah, on brand. I'd say this is probably our most on brand podcast
if this is the first time you're ever listening to our podcast, you have gotten all of it right in one episode. This entirely encapsulates everything this podcast is about.
The best part is we are 1/7 of the way in people supporting the podcast and subscribers to me being able to quit my real job and do this full time. We only need $6,000 more a month, and I can be your podcaster dollar store version of Nick Underhill. People, all you need to do is keep donating and get us up to $7,000 a month so I can live my decadent, abusive lifestyle and do this full time from my kitchen table in my boxers. It's not too much to ask. Come on. It's just $7 a month. But is that fair? Like, should the Saints crack down on Cook? Andrew would be like, dude, sign this. Or shit, or get off the pot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised we're not hearing more news that he's visiting other teams. You know, because he visited with the Saints, and I would think that the number one tight end on the market would either, I don't know, maybe the Saints felt like they were lowballing him.
He's not. Like, they had a bunch of other tight ends. But he's not. Like, I disagree with you. Like, he might be the best pass catcher, and he might be attractive to us. But, dude, other teams, they had tight ends. Other teams went in other directions and gave $6-7 million a year to tight ends. Like, his market just isn't there. Like, we can say he's the best tight end in the market, but like, teams don't really feel that way. Are they all like, do you think Why do you think that is, Andrew? I mean, like, I agree with you. I was like, he's the number one guy in the market. He's going to get 2-3 years maybe and get like $7 million a year. And clearly, he ain't fucking getting that. Like,
it's weird. I'm surprised. I mean, he's 32 years old, but I just – I'm very surprised that he hasn't signed with someone.
Dave, your thoughts on why he hasn't signed?
I have no fucking idea. I'm annoyed. That's
I mean, I know why Ansa hasn't signed, because teams look at him and are like, dude, your shoulder is as crippled as Ralph's left arm, and we ain't paying you dick. And he's just going to wait it out until August, I think, when the team gets desperate. But Cooks, like, if
Pelicans
a team
just took the lead with 5 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Who did?
What are they doing? No, stop. Lose.
Can I say, we're not a basketball podcast, but the Pelicans game against the Suns on Saturday, that was the fucking Mona Lisa of tanking. They were up three with like 5 seconds left. They don't foul the guy, he hits the three, there's a second left, and the Pelicans call a timeout they don't have. The dude for the Suns shoots two free throws, Phoenix gets the ball, inbounds, Pelicans lose. That was the fucking Sistine Chapel of tanking. It was art. And all the NBA people were mad at the Pelicans, the beat writers. I was like, this is fantastic. I want the Pelicans to entertain me and then lose. And it was magnificent.
Yeah, well, there's 5 seconds left and they're up one, so they just need to foul the Mavericks here.
I mean, I haven't been as excited about watching one of my teams lose since the Saints in 2005 lost to Detroit in San Antonio on Christmas Eve when they were up, I think, 2, and Joey Harrington completed a 4th-and-17. And Detroit ran on the field and kicked the game-winning field goal, because by that time, I want Jim Haslett fired and I want Reggie Bush, and the Saints winning accomplishes neither of those two things. So I was literally running around my parents' house post-Katrina in Lacombe celebrating, and my family was like, the Saints just lost. Why are you celebrating? I'm like, because we're in fucking tank mode, baby.
Reggie Bush.
Seriously. So, Andrew, now that the live stream is working, we have probably four people listening. Do we have questions?
That many, huh? We have no questions.
I apologize.
Did you not put out a Twitter question because you were expecting questions from the live
stream? I was.
if you're listening and you're on the YouTube, I'm supposed to read from the YouTube comments, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a chat all the way on the right if you're on YouTube, and you can type your question and I'll read it.
Yeah, I just I think I know what I did. I logged in from my work computer, and by logging in, I changed the site key, which is something you need for the live stream. I changed it, and I didn't realized that I changed it and I needed to update it tonight, and I did not, and hence it did not work, and the live stream didn't work. But that's what you come to. I mean, that's my technical savvy. You people should have known that this was going to be a disaster the first time out. Like, you're lucky you got 25 minutes of live stream with me. I mean, Andrew, you gotta be impressed. You probably thought that we were going to get no live stream, and we got 20 minutes, so people should be pleased. So free agency so far, Dave, how you feeling?
You know, I'm not that impressed, but only because, you know, there's no real big, you know, big exciting splash signings. But that's kind of been the MO for the Saints the last few years. Mickey has been very conservative, very patient. The last few years they've tried to do more like what the Patriots do. You know, you don't overvalue too many people. So, I mean, there's nothing, certainly nothing sexy about this free agency. If they sign Jared Cook, things get a lot sexier. and obviously, we've lost Ingram. We've lost Unger. So it's kind of bittersweet, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they got Teddy Bridgewater locked in, finally. That was a little dicey. Oh, and by the way...
Yeah, I think that's the most... Go ahead, Ralph. But I think that's the most interesting thing of free agency is the fact that we are possibly...
Do we lose Dave?
No, I'm done.
No, you just, I think you just dropped out for a second. But no, you were saying about Teddy Bridgewater is the biggest thing in free agency. What I was going to say is I love that the Dolphin fans were as nervous about the Dolphins signing Teddy Bridgewater as Saints fans were about him leaving. Like, both fan bases wanted him to stay in New Orleans. Like, Miami, their fan base is so committed to tanking, they've come up with the slogan, Fish Tank 2019, which is fucking amazing, I think. And they signed Fitzpatrick, which made them very happy. But, Andrew, I think the Saints get an A because they signed Teddy Bridgewater. It goes to an A-plus if they can get Cook and Ansa.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think right now, I mean, listen, there's all the free agency left, and there's still the draft. So there's going to be opportunities to make this team better. But
well, the draft, I mean.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you look at who they've lost. They've lost Unger, Watson, and Ingram. I mean, those are – and it's not, Watson wasn't great, but you talk about the leadership in the locker room. You talk about what Unger meant to this team. You talk about what Ingram meant to this team. And you're replacing that with Latavius Murray, Nick Easton, and currently we don't know, maybe Jared Cook. Man, that's not that exciting to me. I mean, if anything, I feel like maybe the offense has taken a little bit of a step back.
Hate Latavius Murray. Tell the people what you text me. You hate him. You admit it to me, but you kind of do. I don't hate him.
I don't. Yeah. I don't like his running style.
Maybe I hate him a little bit.
I don't like his running style. He's very tall. He's 6'3", and if you watch his highlights, like, he just runs very vertical. So I just think he's not a very good short yardage back. And I just think, like, the Saints kind of need the Ingram guy to be able to pound it on third and one. And I just think he runs too erect.
Erect. I like that. Here's a question that I ask you via text, Andrew, and I'll ask it again, but I want Dave to answer it. Dave, if I told you you could have Jared Cook on the Saints and he would catch 65 passes for 700 yards and 5 touchdowns, or you can have Ziggy Ansah and 14 sacks, who do you choose?
Man, that's tough, but I think I've got to go with by the way, I guess the Pelicans gave up that lead and now it's overtime.
Full Pelican.
That's very on brand for the Pelicans.
Wait, they actually did foul, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, that's great tanking. The guy,
like, tripped over him. He, like, fell to the ground.
That is fantastic tanking.
So I think I'd have to take Cook, because I feel like the need for a pass, the offense, I think there would be a much bigger help for the offense than Ansa would be in that situation to the defense. I mean, the Saints have guys already on the team that could potentially.
Yeah, 14 sacks is 14 sacks.
I mean, well, look, Cam Jordan can get there. Marcus Davenport coming in his second year. He's supposed to be around those numbers in year two, I think.
I mean, listen to Dave turning his nose at 14 sacks.
It is. I mean, they got fucking 40 catches out of Dave Thomas.
Tower, Dave.
So anyway, I think it's possible that they have people on the team who could do that, but I don't think they have very many options at pass catcher who could potentially put up those numbers. And they're not even great numbers from Jared Cook. I thought you were going to say like 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns or something like that. Because that would be more comparable to a 14 sack season, in my opinion.
Well, no, because I think if they're both awesome, I want the tight end just because I think the Saints need it
touchdown
more. But like 14 sacks, if the Saints defense is healthy, I feel like it would transform them into a top three defense. And if they're a top three defense and Drew Brees has like a Peyton Manning type decline, they could carry the Saints' ass to the Super Bowl if they're top three defense, right? So I would take the 14 sacks.
Just for the record, Jason Klein on the chat agrees with me. He says, I'll take the sacks. So Jason, I'm glad that you do not turn your nose up at 14 sacks, unlike
you two,
one of my co-hosts.
Yeah, you two love boys, really love big sacks.
Jason might qualify
don't
for
like super, your tight ends.
Jason might qualify for super fan status, being that he stuck through all the night the disaster that was the live stream.
He probably just got home from work in the middle of the show and just turned us on, right?
So here's something I want to tell everyone is Dave graciously designed a fantastic beer koozie.
I did not. I just took the artwork that we have and submitted it to the beer koozie company.
Well, it's more
sounds like a design to me.
It looked like a design to me. You changed it from white to gold, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I am a talent. I am a graphical design talent. Let me tell you.
So anyway, Dave. Dave, we got the we've ordered the beer koozies, and here's the thing. Patreon, despite my incompetence with the live stream tonight, is a better product than Podbean. We love Podbean. And you can stay on Podbean if you want to stay on Podbean. But if you switch over from Podbean to Patreon, and oh, by the way, if you switch over, you won't get charged twice. Patreon doesn't bill you until the first of every month. Anyone that is on Patreon on May 1st, get a beer koozie as a thank you for supporting us and being on Patreon. So just, if you're on Patreon already, we love you. You're awesome. You're getting a beer koozie. If you're on Podbean, consider switching. And if you switch, we'll give you a beer koozie. We're not going to do away with Podbean. If you love Podbean, if you like it and you want to stay, that's cool too. But if you switch over from Podbean to Patreon, you get a beer koozie. Think it over. So until next week, the bar is closed.